as we want to do from year to year, we'll spend 2 weeks in Mirtz Hashem on Pesach. The first year looking at a global theme, and the second year focusing more specifically on one part of the Haggadah. When we take a look at a global theme, and this year we'll focus on a global theme of the Haggadah itself, which, as we will see, it's really a global theme of Pesach, we find something very fascinating. The Haggadah begins with, in source number one, the Halach Ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction, which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Whoever's hungry, come and eat. And we say, now we are here, next year may we be in the land of Israel. Now we are slaves, next year may we be free men. And that's how we begin off the Seder. How do we end off the Seder? So, Chesel Seder Pesach, source number two, the Seder is now concluded in accordance with its law, right? This is before the song section. Some people say, some people don't. Just as we were privileged to arrange it, so we merit to perform it, O pure one who dwells on high, raise up the countless congregation soon, guide the offshoots of your plants, redeem to Zion with glad song, and we end off, L'shana habab Yushalayim, next year in Yushalayim. Rabbi Gladstein, in his Sefer Magid Arakia on Pesach, points out the following. He says, when you begin with something and you end with something, that really reflects that the entirety that's found within that, it's almost like bookends, that the entire book that's found within contains that theme as well. And as a paradigm for this, you see in the bracket in three, Halo p'ticha davar v'siyamo morim lano al mahuto. And we find this by the Torah. The beginning of Torah is Gmilus Chasadim, and the end of the Torah is Gmilus Chasadim. Kadosh Baruch Hu clothing Adam, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah ends with bearing Moshe Rabbeinu. So that is Shabbat Pashtur Kavaratam Lomar Shekola Torah Kula Gmilus Chasadim. We see from here that the entirety of the Torah is Gmilus Chesed. Likewise here, Im Kvim Kein L'Choraf Kan Kein Hu. The fact that the Haggadah begins and ends with L'shana Haba is a reflection that Ikar Ma'uta Shal Haggadah, the essence of the Haggadah, has a Kesher Pnimi, has some type of connection with the future redemption. And we need to be able to understand, what is this all about? Where do you see even hints of the future redemption? We're speaking about getting out of Egypt. Why do we suddenly say that, not just at the end, L'shana Haba, but really the, not only Shvoch HaMatchas we'll talk about, but really the entire Pesach Seder, the entire Sipurit Samitzrayim, which is about, we left Egypt, how do we even see this as a theme relating to the future redemption? What's even more fascinating in source number four, the question becomes, who wrote the Haggadah? Which is a fascinating question. And he brings down the Tzemach Menachem, who writes, Dinei Shamati Sheshama Mipe Kadosh Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that from Rabbunim, Ashehu Makir Melashon Shel Haggadah Shel Pesach, that this Haggadah was written by none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. It's the same language that's found in Tanan de Eliyahu, which is written by Eliyahu HaNavi. Shabbala Gada Reo Eliyahu Navi Zachur Latov. And we also have to ask ourselves, Eliyahu Navi wrote the Haggadah? What's this all about? It's very fascinating in 5b, the Targum Yonasan, the Moshe Rabbeinu is sent, right, to go by the Sneh, by the burning bush. He's sent to go on the Shlichus to redeem the Jews. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shlach Nabi Atishlach, send somebody else, don't send me. Send somebody you're used to sending. B'yamishata ragil lishloach. And that's classic Chazal, Aaron. Go send him. You're used to. He's already been serving you in Egypt. The Targum Yonasan says differently. Vamar, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Shishlach et Pinchas ligol et Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. You should send Pinchas to save the Jews, because he is the one who's ultimately going to be the one who's going to save them. Pinchas is Eliyahu. So we're seeing here that's much more complex. That's not just about the Jews leaving Egypt. There's this aspect that Pinchas Eliyahu is connected, that Moshe Rabbeinu thought he should be the one saving them, because he will ultimately save them. Eliyahu Navi is the one who writes the Haggadah. How do we understand what all this is about? So the simple understanding, and again we'll take a look at this at two levels, we'll take a look at a global, few understandings of the global perspective of how the Haggadah and the Night of Yetziat Mitzrayim is a reflection of the future Gula. And then we'll take a look at one specific aspect of the Seder night and be able to see different parts of that that are a reflection of these ideas. So the simple understanding is the Maimer of the Navi in Micha in source number 5a, Ki mei seitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim erenu niflos. That the Navi himself links the future Geula to the time we left Egypt, just like you had Ki mei seitcha me'eretz Yitzrayim, just like you have when you left Egypt, miracles, erenu niflos, in the future, there will also be miracles that will happen. And that the future miracles are somehow linked with the miracles of Egypt. The Sefer Laila Kayom Ya'ir of Baum notes this on a very, very deep level. Let's try to get a sense of it. I'm not sure I even understand it, but I'll present it nonetheless. And he says, V'tzarich Ladad in Source 6, Shotam Niflo Shasak Kadosh Baruch Hu Bereishis Sagula. All these miracles that Hashem did at this time of the redemption of Egypt, Nagof L'Mitzrayim V'Rafol Yisrael, which had a dual effect. It struck Mitzrayim, punished the Egyptians, and was healing for the Jews. T'munot B'Primuteyim Niflot En Mispar. There's a lot of very, very wondrous things that happened. It wasn't just a one-time experience. That experience of striking the Egyptians, the enemies, and healing the Jews is something that progresses throughout all the generations. Why? Ki Mitzrayim in the underline, he has shorish the cholagolios. Egypt just wasn't a one-time experience. Egypt is the root, it's the core of all the golios. As we've spoken about, the Sfarim say, Habayim Mitzrayim, you came down to Egypt. Bayim is the Rashi Tevot of Bavel, Edom, Yavan, and Madai. Right? You came down to Egypt, but Egypt just wasn't a one-time experience. Egypt is the source, is the paradigm, the umbrella, so to speak, of all the exiles will be in. V'chol ha-meitzarim v'hastarot sheba'olam einam ela anafim v'giluyim pratim shel ha'klal ahu. And everything that happens is just an offshoot of what happened in Egypt, which in simple English means, which isn't such simple English, that we are experiencing the continuation of the Egyptian story. The Egyptian story didn't happen once. We'll talk more about this today, Mir Tzashem. It continues to transpire. V'yitzia Mitzrayim hi ha'shorash l'chol ge'ula. What happened in Egypt is the root of all redemption. So all the punishments of all time and all the healing of all time is all found in the Egyptian story. And therefore, our job, the Chol Hamarbe L'Saper Mitzia Mitzrayim Hareza Meshubach, what does the Chol Hamarbe mean? Melshom Piria V'Rivia. The more you talk about, the more you add, what you are doing is you are mosi flotzi oda tagu'ula minakoach alapoal. The more you talk about the Egyptian experience, what you're really doing is, dibur is from the word to lead, yadber amim tachtenu. What we're doing is we're leading, we're drawing from that experience into our very day and being able to create more and more energy to be able to punish the wicked people and to be able to heal the Jews. So what we're seeing here, and again, it's a little bit Kabbalistic, a little bit deep, is that whatever happened in Egypt, it's not that the book was closed. It's more like the roots of a plant that continuously grow throughout the generations, and we're tapping into those kochos, those powers that were, and it's impacting what is happening today. It's impacting the Ukraine, the Russians, the Chinese, the Americans, everyone. It's impacting as we celebrate Yetzia Mitzrayim, what we're really doing is tapping into the kochos of that are found really in the world. And this is why, obviously, in the Sfarim say, why the Haggadah then goes through that you think it was only 10 makos in Egypt. No, Rabbi Yosef Glilev said that really every makah had 5 components. It was 50 makos. And the next opinion, Rabbi Eliezer says no, that it really had more aspects to it. And it was 40 in Egypt and 200 on the sea. Rabbi Akiva says no, every makah was 5 components. So if it was the finger, etzpa lokim, and Mitzrayim, so it was 50 in Mitzrayim, and the Yad Chazaka was a hand on the sea, so it was 250 makos. The bottom line is, and he points this out, and I'm almost mentioning this parenthetically to show the complexity, if you count up 50, 200, 250, plus the Eser Makos, plus the Tzach Hadash Be'achav, you get 613. So there's some aspect of the 613 mitzvos that we do that somehow is the positive side to the 613 aspects of punishment that are found in this world, Zelu Matzeh, and just as the 613 mitzvos are continuous, the 613 punishments, so to speak, are continuous as well. And this is the idea that the Ramban brings down in source number 8. The idea of the Da ki kol gzeirot irin kasher teitze mikoach hagzeira pol dimayon tiye gzeira mitkayemet al kol panim. There's an idea of pol dimayon that sometimes the Nevi'im did a physical action, and that physical action was then something to concretize that whatever the nevuah was, that whatever the prophecy was, would take place. And this is really the way we have to understand the Yetziat Mitzrayim and the future Gula. Omnam lefi mashekatavti, this is Meisen, you see, in the asterisk in 8, shekol dvarim shenasu begula Mitzrayim heim poel dimayon shitkayem bekefel begula asida shetavo bimeira. So what do we, when we go through the Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Seder night, we just have to understand this is a poel dimayon. This is just a physical representation what will be actualized as the nevuah of punishing the future nations. V'gula Mitzrayim yisharis l'chol gulos hadvarim kipshutam, that whatever happened in Egypt, that will, that is going to show us a representation of what's going to be in the future. And hence, notes the Mice and Yusim that our Seder night is really divided into two parts. V'nira d'kvar 9a katafti laos, shebek koshot harishonim heim keneged hotza v'atzala. The first part of the Seder, before first two cups, before we have the Suda, is really about the past, what happened in Egypt. And then the second part of the Seder is about the Gula Asida. It's about the Halal Haggadah. But based on what we're saying is, it's not just that distinction. That's like a very superficial distinction. Part of the Seder is the past. The second part of the Seder is the future. The Chiddush for us today is the part of the Seder that's the past, where I mentioned the Makos. And I mentioned how it's not that many, but it's much, many more. And we mentioned Al Kol Tova, Kfulo Mechupelet, and all the goodness Hashem does. That is a model for us to understand that while we say this, we are creating an energy in the world that right now there is punishment being almost Kabbalistically, spiritually sent out in the world to destroy the enemies, because whatever happened in Egypt is again just a paradigm of what's going to happen to the nations. That's idea number one. That's the idea that the night of the Seder, when I talk about the Makos, it has to be with the vision in source number 7, actually parallel, how every Makah the Navi will speak about, where that exact type of Makah is going to happen to the nations in the future. So we have to, when I sit down at the Seder table, I have to be able to, in my mind's eye, not just look in the past, Dam Svardei Akinim, but have a mind's eye toward the future, that this is happening as we speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send out these punishments on the nations throughout history until ultimately all the nations will be vanquished and we will be redeemed. So the night of Seder is what we call not just the night of past redemption, but a night of continuous redemption. A second idea of this mindset that a person needs to have on Seder night is found in a very beautiful idea from the Sanz HaRav from Kloisenberg, who points out in source number 10, when you take a look at the Haggadah, one of the things, and something that we speak about a lot, is that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the entire Haggadah except one time, where it speaks about how the Jewish people believed in Hashem and Moshe Avdo, and it's almost mentioned parenthetically. The whole focus of the Seder night is Ani Velo Malach, Ani Velo Sarach, Ani Hu, Ani Velo Acher. The whole focus of the Seder night is on the oneness of Hashem, on the individuality, that there was no other medium except the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what is this idea teaching us on a deeper level, and how is this relevant for us when we're looking at the Seder night, not just as something of historical value, but something that's a continuous process? So the Kloisenberger Rebbe says the following. He says, it's very fascinating to note, at the end of Perek Bet, I'm in the bracket in 10, the Pasuk says that Klai Yisrael Vayhi Bayimim HaRabim Ahem Vayama Melech Mitzrayim. At those times, the king of Egypt died. Vayanchu B'nei Yisrael Min Avoda. Jewish people sighed, they cried from the hard work. Vayzaku V'tal Shavatam Elokim Min Avoda. They cried, went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from all their hard work. Vayishma Elokim Min Nakasam. Hashem heard the cry and he remembered his covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Vayar Elokim B'nei Yisrael, Vayed Elokim. Hashem saw and Hashem knew. The next parak begins with Moshe Yaroed Son Yitro. Moshe was the shepherd and Hashem came to him. What's fascinating is that in reality, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't in Egypt when this is happening. The crying out is the crying out of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu then comes on the scene after Hashem sees, after Hashem notices. Ubevadai kol zeh in 10b, kedei lachok banu atediyah bura shekol nitzei Mitzrayim v'gulatam shobani Yisrael nasu yidei Kadosh Baruch Hu levato. It wasn't the Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael to daven. It wasn't that he was leading the Tehillim rally, sing the Shir HaMalos. He was out of the picture at that time. And it was clearly a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself who heard when Klal Yisrael called out, he was there. This is the major, one of the major themes that we have to underscore the night of the Seder. Shineda in the second bracket, third bracket part of 10b, Kigulatenu Pedut Nafshenu Aita Meir Hashem Yisbaruch Levado. Hashem is the solitary being that took us out. Ve'ein la'acher zulato chelik bekach, and no other person had us saying this. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is really almost consciously not found there. Kol ha'odaya v'ahala rak la'Kadosh Baruch Hu levad, hu kelchanun v'rachum. Rachum v'chanun. Hashem alone is the one we need to give thanks to. And he says in the bracket, hakdama zu lama hiba, hakol mishum kviyas chazal maitza avot zimu labonim. All of this is really a Maisa Avos, Sima Labanim, is just a precursor to what will happen in the future. Gula Rishona Hi Gula Mitzrayim, this is the first of the redemption, and then there's going to be the redemption from the Shibud Del and Malchios until the ultimate redemption from Edom. And what we need to understand, continuing on the next page in source number 11, Ha'avar Melamdenu Shneida Ki Agiyos Mat. He says, this is Rav Schlesinger quoting this idea, and it's very intense. He says, this is all coming to teach us. Us is really us, you and me, sitting in this generation. It's going to come a time, Shiyudim yu levad rechman l'tzlan. The Jews are going to feel so forlorn and alone. Lo yiyami sheyafsir v'yifka ba'adam. There's going to be no leader that's going to stand up and daven for them. V'yeda razei atfilos lo rerachmi b'shnei marom. Someone who has that ability to really storm the heavens, like a Mordechai Tzadik. Kibena mitchatel lifnei aviv. Ad shebnei Yisrael yomru Penenu li amim venozeru l'smoin somech. We don't know who to turn to. Yekiyaz man shaloyim semishi achol lamod ifzekar shporchu v'lishtoch t'chinateinu. Who can we turn to who has those broad shoulders who can really daven and really pierce the heavens? We're so alone. V'haydu shekol ha-tzadikim l'kachakar shporchu l'atzmo. All the great tzaddikim have already gone. We're left with so few here. At Kinishar Dur Ani Veinozer. Yes, we have great tzaddikim, but we're like an orphan generation. Ubisman shekazeh taleh machshavatenu kichatz v'shalom asat tikva. And then a person may think, a nation may think, we've lost hope. Who can we turn to? Aval ka'et kazeh eit tzar liyakov shein lanu mishi yasok vein lanu leicham lifnof v'livroach. Who can we turn to David? Bizman shekazeh, double squiggly, nashrish b'kirbenu. It's at this very time that we have to be able to understand and really integrate within ourselves. Ki yesh lanu amili sha'en, we have whom to turn to. Klai Yisrael didn't turn to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, you daven for us. They daven themselves. Yesh lanu amili smoch, Yehudim, od zman kat, v'od rega mu'ad, yavru, v'ashem itanu, hu moshinu, v'hu yoshinu, v'igalenu shenit. We have the ability to turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. Hashem, who redeemed us in the past, will redeem us in the future. We can't come into a level of yeush, of despair. And therefore, in 12, Kol zeh ba'kamur, l'alufenu bina, gam zmanenu anu. This is to teach all of us a lesson. Ki'ilu Moshe levad haya olech v'go'olam mitzrayim. If Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who took the initiative and redeemed them from Egypt, Hainu Chas Shalom Arim Kayom, we would, God forbid, say today, Atashe, let Moshe Rabbeinu Miyelech Ba'adeinu, who's going to take us out? Who's going to lead us? Kitao Tav Shabbat Yisoba Midbar, when that, like they had a Chet Ha'egel. Aval Im Nashrish V'tochenu, Kilo Moshe Ayazah Shalach, El Arak Tafel, Ayah L'Kodesh Baruch Hu, V'hu Shalach. But if we understand the message of the Haggadah, that Hashem is not mentioned, and we're focusing in, Moshe Rabbeinu's not mentioned, we're focusing in only on Hashem. Az yadatem keni Hashem, ulme'ad, matay shetitzaku elai tamid enetchem, zo tiyah hitchazkut shel b'nei Yisrael l'doros olam. And that's what we have to understand, continuing at 13, that tonight, the night of the Seder, the night of Lel Mitzrayim, is a Lel Shimurim, a night of watching. A night of guarding, a night where Hashem, and we've spoken about this theme in the past, it's a night of tefillah. It's a night not only where we speak about that we were redeemed, but it's a night where really our focus is about future redemption. It's a night that we have to turn to Ribbono Shalom and say, Achrus Kereshi, just like you redeemed us in the past, you need to redeem us in the future. And just to remind us, because we've done this before, that if you take a look at the number of brachos that we have in the Seder night, Netilat Yadayim and Kiddush and Shechiyanu and all the brachos, add them all up, you'll have 18 brachos Lekach V'Libu brings down, which parallels the Shemoneh Esrei. And that's why one of the reasons we call it Seder. Seder Tkiyaseinu, Seder HaTfila. It's a Seder, it's a night of Shemoneh Esrei. It's a night of davening. What are we davening for? Obviously, we're davening in today's rut zone, skies to heaven, daven for whatever you need, and the list is endless. But the major thing that we're davening for is the geula, is that we understand as we sit on Lel HaSeder, we understand that this is just like a jumping off point. It is just springing us into the mindset, the mood, that this is just a harbinger of something much greater to come. And as I sit in the Seder, part of my mindset has to be, is recognizing that whatever happened will happen, and part of my responsibility is, as Klal Yisrael daven then, and they relied completely on the Ribbono Shalom, we have to rely completely on the Ribbono Shalom as well. Perhaps this is why we have a situation today where the world leaders in every country, without exception, and I'm not going to point fingers at one particular country because I don't need to. It's every country. Each leader is worse than the next. Each leader is someone you can't rely on. Each leader, you're wondering where their mental acuity is. And the reason for this is obviously Le Melachim B'yad Hashem. The hearts of the leaders are in the hands of Hashem. it's also for us to realize we can't rely on political means. Asher lo yishenu, asus lo nerkav, v'lo namar Eloheinu l'maseh yadenu, asher b'cha yirucham yatom. The only one we can rely on, like a yasam turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam, an orphan. We have to feel like orphans. Yesh al mi lishein, the only one we can rely on is Ribbono Shel Olam. And that has to be the message that comes across. He describes here from Reb Nachman of Breslov in 13, that the generation that we're in, the generation of Ikvasat the Mashiach, will be very much like trying to climb up a solid wall, right? It's very hard. There's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to grasp. But that's what we're in now. We're just Corona. Everything is just calling up this wall, and to hold on to our Amunah, and to hold on to our faith, and be able to, be able to stand in the darkest part of the night with the real belief that the redemption is happening. We'll just add it as a final idea Rav Schlesinger brings, V'omnam in 15, kol yachi v'yachi, every individual, tzarich lasot cheshbano prati la'eit kazot. We all, as a nation, we're going to be redeemed. But where are we as individuals? Sarich l'shmira miyuchedet b'toch haklal glo. We need to have shmira. We need to have protection. V'achiyu v'kol echad l'kabel l'atzmo l'shanot adarcho l'tova. We have to improve our ways. We have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with greater focus, alacrity, sensitivity in our limud Torah, in our chesed, in our davening. V'lazov v'lilei kasvo v'zavo. And to get rid of the love of money and of physical things, and to have greater kabbalat olmuchut shemayim be'ahava, u'betoshin erbe b'torah u'tfilo ma'isim tovim yachus am ani ve'avyo, and this is what we have to bring down. And this is another theme of the Seder night, which is tshuva. And we have to become different people. We can't go through a holiday, take out the chametz, right? It's not just cleaning our houses for you know, crumbs and Cheerios that may be hiding. It's the crumbs and the Cheerios that are within us, the crummy part of us that we have to work on. And this is what tshuva is about, that we have to be ready for the geula, that we have to imagine this year, Pesach night, like people really believe that Corona, open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come. That's how we have to believe every single year. As the Chofetz Chaim writes, that the Mashiach can come anytime, but there's a higher percentage chance that he's going to come in Nisan. So we have to prepare ourselves, because whatever level we're on, that's where we're going to be. It's like a frozen state. So the cleaning is tshuva. This is it. So I sit at the night of Seder with this anticipation, with this belief. I am working on myself. I am trying to become better. I am doing my part to bring the geula. I am relying on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and every one of us has to do our part to bring this geula, and that we should be worthy, that we should be around for the geula. B'mhei Rabbi Amenu. Now, let's just add one more nekuda before looking into the second part of this year. If we've spoken about the night of Pesach is a jumping off point for the future Golios, the that we're actually bringing to some extent, we're leaving, we're bringing out the Makos, and that there is this influence in this world, and that the night of Seder is a night to rely only on the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a night of tefillah, it's a night of tshuva, it's a night of connection, and a night of really believing in the geula, that we can really appreciate this third element. And that's 16. Ita b'yalkut shimoni, this is Matnat Chaim, Ramasiyo Salom, Shlita, ve'rastich li be'muna, and you will engage me, you will marry me in the future with faith. A major theme of the night of Seder, we've spoken about this in the past as well, is emuna. We were redeemed because of Emunah. It's the night of Emunah. It's Rosh Hashanah of Emunah. And in the future, we are going to be redeemed with this as well. And Hashem watches over those who believe in Him and those who rely on Him. Now that we're waiting, anticipating the redemption of Hashem, we have to be able to be mechazek ourselves in Emunah. So part of the night of the Seder is a night of tefillah, it's a night of tshuva, and it's a night as well of emunah, all within the context, aside from the other context that we've spoken about in the past years. This is in the context of the future redemption. And he brings here from the Mabit and the Sefer Elokim, and he says, "Be'inyan emunah begula asita." The belief in the future redemption. It's very hard to believe in something you haven't experienced, right? I haven't seen it. How do I know that it's going to be? Tikel gvurat havata beinai mishara gu'ulos asher nitra'u b'chush. Come on, you see at Mitzrayim, shekatav avadum v'nuotam abramot shana, and then it says, v'achreichen yitzu b'chush gadol. You're right, I haven't seen the final gula. But you know something, my friends? We have in history where Hashem has promised us we would be enslaved, and He's promised us redemption, and that has to be a forerunner to what's going to be in the future as well. And that you see that Hashem made promises and they came true. Hashem says, I will take you to an Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, and we landed in Eretz Yisrael. So what strengthens our future Amunah is the night of Seder. When I speak about how Hashem made promises that we'd be down in Egypt, and Hashem made promises that we'd be taken out, and indeed all of this has happened, that then says to me, you're right, I can't see and know the future, but based on the past, I have a sense of the future. The Gula Mitzrayim is just one of them. You can look throughout history and you see that we have been redeemed. We had a Holocaust and we have Eretz Yisrael. We've seen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken care of us. So we see in 18, Shemish rotzeh lechazek atzmo be'emunah be'geula, alav litbonen be'geula shaita kvar b'yitzia Mitzrayim. If you want a sense of that, like buttressing our emunah level, learn the story of Yitzia Mitzrayim well, and you'll have it. Ela kavanai chazek otana be'emunah. And that's what it means. Ki meitzei tcha be'eretz Yisrayim eren uflos. That as you left Egypt, I'll show you miracles. It's not that I'll show you the same miracles. It's obviously going to be much greater in the future. And he says at 19, you see this. Because by Bris Bar Sarim Hashem Satav Ravinu, Vagam, this nation, Dan Anochi, I'm going to judge them. Two words, Dan Anochi. And that was 10 makos, 50 makos, whatever it is. Two words, you have X amount of makos. You have Svarim filled with the nevuah of the future, what will be. So obviously, the nations in the future are going to have much greater miracles and signs that are going to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement. Indeed, this idea of believing in Mashiach is part of the questions. Gemara and Shabbos, the Flamen Aleph, teaches us that are going to be asked in the future. One of the questions is, Satav and Atatav Emuna, we've spoken about this in the past as well, did you do your business dealings honestly? Asatav Piri Verivya, right? Kavati Yitim LaTorah, did you involve yourself in learning Torah, etc. One of the questions is, Sipita LeYeshua, did you long for the Yeshua? And Sipita doesn't mean, did you believe in the Yeshua, right? The Rambam says if someone doesn't long for the Yeshua, he's a kofer. Because this is a fundamental aspect of our faith. Sipita is from the word sofeh. A sofeh is a guard who watches. The guard who watches is not on his phone. He's somebody who's looking out at all times, seeing if any movement anywhere could be, you know, saying something, and you have to be on high alert. Sipita Yeshua means that I am looking out on high alert for those signs. Mashiach, this could be it. That has to be the pitch that we are on. Where do we learn that there is this inyan of Sipita Yeshua that I have to yearn and long for the Geula? I have to be on high alert. So this very beautiful piece that's often quoted from the Smack, the Sefer Mitzvot Katan, and he says, Shekol ha-dibor ha-rishon, anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Aseret HaDibor, I am Hashem your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim, mibeit avodim, is where you learn it from. It doesn't say Hashem who created heaven and earth. It says, Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. V'ner b'veirat v'arav d'kavanah lo dayek b'apasuk. Why does it say, Asher tzitichem eretz Mitzrayim? Shema kavanah lo mara shesham hirak Kodesh Baruch Hu kocho shua borei v'aman higat olam. If the taking out of Mitzrayim was just to show Hashem's strength, then it could say, I showed you my wonders, that I am Hashem Bekerva Aretz, V'lama and the arrow in 20, Hidgi, Shaitab, Zay, Yitzia, V'gula, Lan. Why does it say, Asher Tzikticha, Me'eretz, Yitzrayim, V'beit Avadim, that Hashem redeemed us? And the answer is, V'akurcha, Kavanahi, L'ramez, L'od, Yisod, Shelo, Rak, Shani, Bori, Mani, Get, Olam. It's not only that Hashem created the world, but rather, this first one of the Aseret HaDibrot, Ela Shani Goel Mekayim Haftachati. I am one who keeps my promise. Just like I promised I would take them out of Egypt, I am going to take them out of the future redemptions as well. So from that pasuk of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeiticha Me'eretz Yitzrayim, just like I took you out of the land of Egypt, I'm going to take you out in the future. Therefore, Bavodat Lel HaSeder 22, Sha'anu Mitvarnim Ba'Geula Shivilanu Hashem Bimei Tzeiticha Me'eretz Yitzrayim. When I sit and tell over the story that Hashem took us out of Egypt, with all the Yesodos Hamuna, with all the faith that I learned from this experience, Aleinu Lomod Lichazek, we also have to simultaneously learn to strengthen ourselves, as Ramas Yisyahu, in this Hamuna, that just like Hashem kept his promises in the past, Hashem will keep his promises in the future as well. This has to be my mindset of what Pesach is about, and my mindset in preparing for Pesach, that I'm really preparing myself for the future redemption, right? There's an idea of sweeping your floor on Tisha B'Av afternoon, preparing for Mashiach. I am cleaning my house, a thorough cleaning, again, physically as well as spiritually, but there is an idea that I'm really preparing myself for the Geula. I'm preparing myself for the ultimate redemption. Perhaps that's an explanation, at least in Chutz La'aretz, of spring cleaning. You have to get rid of a lot of stuff because you're going to be moving here. So you have to get ready because it's ut. You know, when people come from America, I like taking them on the Mashiach tour. So people ask me, well, what is the Mashiach tour? I take them around Ramat Beit Shemesh. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dal, Gimel Achad, Gimel Shtay, Dal Achad, Dal Shtayim, Dal Shalosh, Dal Arba. This is the Mashiach tour. The Gemara Ksuvos says, Eretz HaTzvi, the land of Israel is like a tzvi. It's going to expand. You see mountains where literally 2 years ago, 6 months ago, had nothing on it. Thousands of people are living on it. Like, it boggles your mind. And every day, building new roads, building new houses, just building. It's Mashiach site. We're living it here. And this is the idea, it's our final idea on the first level. The pasuk says in Bamidbar, Kel motziam mimitzrayim kitofad ra'im lo. Kilo nachash b'yakov v'lo kasam b'yisrael. This is Bilam's brachos. So the Orachayim HaKadosh says, it should have said b'lashon avar, Kel hotziam mimitzrayim. Hashem, past tense, took us out of Mitzrayim. And he notes the Orachayim HaKadosh, b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam l'rod atzmo kilu yatzam Mitzrayim. Every generation of see ourselves left Egypt. Al kein amru yodei pnimius haTorah ki kein kol lel Pesach. Mitbarim kochos hakedusha ma'plipa v'nosafim ba'am b'nei Yisrael v'yavchina atzma sh'yitziyah Mitzrayim. Every year we're going out of Mitzrayim. Every year the spiritual forces of negativity are lessened. The spiritual forces of positivity are added. And every year we're moving stronger and stronger into the world of the Geula. Shebichol shana v'shana, says Rav Chefetz in Chalona Teva, Mamshichim anu latzeit migolos v'tuma Mitzrayim. Every year, on some level, we're extricating ourselves from the impurity of Egypt. Mezumas ha'nachash likrat ha'tikun ha'shalem b'vivur ha'tov ma'ra. So that, my friends, is idea number one. Idea number one of the night of Seder is really a night, the bookends. This year we're here, next year we'll be free. L'shana haba b'yushalayim. The entire Seder is about looking at the past as a sense of the future. The same makos will happen. It'll happen even more. We are on some level enabling, bringing out those spiritual forces, working on ourselves. We're getting rid of the negativity. Kel motziyam mitzrayim, present tense. We're moving toward the redemption. Our tefila, our tshuva, our emuna on the night of Seder has to have some aspect of this to be able to be future oriented. Having said this, I'd like to take a look at one aspect of the Seder, of the Haggadah itself, and be able to see that this is a theme that is woven through. Aside from the fact that the first part is the first two cups are Seiti v'Tzalti, the next two cups v'Gaalti v'Lakachti, the Seder is divided by half, even more than that. And it's almost like, if we can use this in imagery, of tapestry of many, 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 many threads. And if you just are able to point out, let's say, a blue thread, it's not maybe the dominant thread, but once you point it out, you say, wow, there's so many blue threads around here, so many red threads around here, so many purple threads around here, and you're able to focus in on that color. I'd like to take a look at a red thread. And that red thread is based on the color of wine that we're supposed to have. It's like a reddish purple thread, and that is the Arba Kosos, the four cups of wine. We know, my friends, the Pasuk tells us, this is again the Sefer Laila Kayom Ya'ir, source 25, Gan na'ul achoti kala, gal na'ul mayan chatum, gal na'ul elu psulos, gal na'ul elu nashe hanoshim, kel mosi'a sirim b'koshrot, b'schud hanoshim ha'imaho sakshemos. Klai Yisrael redeemed in the merit of the righteous woman. V'cheinu l'doros, and so too in the future. V'ein adoros negalim elu b'schar nashim sidkaniyo sheish b'dor. In the future generations, it will be redeemed for the righteous woman. Sh'ne'mar zecher chastova manato l'veit Yisrael. This is the promise of the kindness to the house of Israel. It doesn't say to B'nai Yisrael, but to Beit Yisrael. Right? Ishto zaboso, the house is the woman. Where do the women get their kochos from? From the Arba Imahos. From the four mothers. Sarai Menu, Rivka Menu, Rochel Menu, and Leah Menu, Medalig, Elahari, Mekabetz Alegvos, Mekabetz Alegvos, Zuchus of the Imahos. And we know the Shlach Kadosh says that the four cups of wine that we have on Seder night are, in the asterisks in 25, are parallel to the Arba Imahos. So, my friends, when we talk about the Arba Imahos, right, B'shut Nashim Sidkaniyot Nigalu, B'shutan Atidim Ligayel, we were redeemed because of the women. The women represent the cups of wine. The women represent, and there's again a lot of Torah on this, he has a whole few chapters on this. The Shlach Kadosh says the three matzos represent the three avos, the intellectual part. The women are the wine. The wine is the emotional part. What makes you happy? What makes you, the feel? Which is what the woman's job is. It's the emotional aspect. Torah Simecha. When we have the four cups of wine in front of us, on the most basic level, we're looking at the koach of the imahos, the koach of our mothers. What we're looking at are the koach, really, of all the nashim sidkaniyos, of all the nashim sidkaniyos, the righteous women in the past, and all the righteous women in the present and in the future. We're looking at the koach in this cup of wine, that energy of redemption. Now, it's very fascinating. In Source 26, the Matan Chaim brings the Rishalmi, the Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem, Rabbi Binyanya, Keneged Dalig Galios. I have the four cups of wine to parallel the four languages of redemption. The Rabbanan Amre, Keneged Daliko Social Parnio, Shekhosh Baruch Atilash Goat et Ta'umos. That there's going to be cups of retribution that Hashem is going to give on the nations of the world. And this four cups that we have represent the retribution of the future. So when I take a look at these cups of wine, as I drink each one, as I have the wine decanter on my table, I think about, on two sides, this cup of wine is Rapo Yisrael, it is healing for Klal Yisrael, it's a schus of the women that have that power and emotional energy and joy that will bring the gula. And at the same time, this wine, this red wine, right, ki adamu ha-nefesh, the blood represents, as Rav Pinchas Zal speaks about, it's the passion in us. At the same time, the dam is the red wine is the dam, is the blood of retribution. The four cups represent the retribution against our enemies. And it's fascinating. As Rav Matisyahu points out, the Ramah, the Gra, 26 and 27, that if you look at the Seder night, we don't only take out the wine of Tzach, Hadash, Bechab, Dam, Sverdei, Akinim. We also take out three drops of wine from the Pasuk in Yoel, Perakimel. Dam, Va'esh, V'timrod, Ashan. Dam, Va'esh, V'timrod, Ashan. Blood, fire, and pillars of smoke represent the future redemption. Why am I taking out for the future redemption? Because the night of Pesach is not just a night about past redemption. It's a night that gives me a glimpse into the future redemption, as if I'm living the future redemption now, and I'm taking away a bit from my joy because there's going to be retribution for the enemies. Just to add parenthetically, it's fascinating. You look at Mitzudos David on this pasuk. Mitzudos lived in the 1800s. How does he describe Dam Va'esh V'timrod Hashem? Dam is blood on the land. Esh, fire, is fire in the heavens. And Timrod, right, so if you take a look at that, right now we understand the bloodshed down here. The fire are the missiles that are shot from heaven. That is fire coming from heaven, right? You almost wonder, what does fire from heaven mean? Fire from heaven, we've seen. Missiles are explosives of fire. The Timrod Hashem, he says, it's pillars of smoke that look like a tamar tree. Timrod, tamar. Timrod Hashem, the clouds, the smoke of a tamar tree. Well, if you ever looked at a mushroom cloud, my friends, it looks like a palm tree. It looks like a tamar tree. So the Mitzudos is writing this in the 1800s without even understanding that we today, 200 years later, 100 and whatever years later, look at it and say, wow, we're living it. This we're living it as we speak. This is not just about the past, it's very much about the future as well. And that's what we have to understand, that we're living on two levels at the night of the Seder. Now, let's very briefly, we don't have that much time left, take a look at a few times that we lift up the cup. If the cup represents this aspect of redemption, so every time we lift up the cup and cover the matzos, it's like a reminder to us, reddish-purple thread, and it focuses on that, probably it's burgundy, that's probably a good color. Let's call it a burgundy thread as I'm speaking. The burgundy color gives us reminders in the Seder to just reorient ourselves to what we're thinking about. So let's take a look at a number of examples. The first one that we raised up the cup and cover the matzos is the Hishamda. It's at this time that stood for our fathers and for us, for it's not just one individual rose up against us to annihilate us, but in every single generation, people rise up against us to annihilate us, and the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hands. Rabbi Bernstein's Haggadah, in the previous paragraph, we thank Hashem for keeping His promise to deliver the Jewish people from Egypt. The Medrash tells us that the time Avram was told that his descendants would be enslaved in Egypt, he was also shown the four exiles that would subsequently experience in the course of their history, Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome. The reason for this is because the exile in Egypt represents the root exile experience for the Jewish people, which subsequent exiles are considered branches. This being the case, it's also true that the exiles from Egypt contains with it the potential for redemption for all subsequent exiles. It's for this reason we say in the blessing, Kriyat Shema L'Cheirus Olam, for everlasting freedom. For as we know, we have been exiled numerous times, but this heralded a state of uninterrupted freedom. Rather, the redemption of Egypt is considered ultimate freedom, for it contains within it the potential for redemption for all from all subsequent exiles. Hashem's promise to deliver us from Egypt is thus ultimately a promise of deliverance from our enemies throughout the ages, and hence we say, and it is this, Vehi, what is this? The promise mentioned above, which has stood by our fathers and for us, the promise that Hashem not only redeemed us in the past, but He will continuously redeem us in all generations. Rabbi Friend, we'll just do this outside, has a very beautiful idea that when you take a look at the Balaturim, who's very into the Tur, the different languages that are found in Chumash, he says you have the word Atem, beginning a Pasuk, only four times in all of Tanakh. And they're found here in Source 29, Atem lechu kulachem tevin masher timsa'u, go take yourself straw. You saw what I did in Egypt, I took you out on eagle's wings. Atem nitzavim hayom, you will stand in front of Hashem. And Atem adai, you are my witnesses, a Pasuk in Yeshaya. And he says, what is the connection between these? So he notes that Rav Yaakov Emden said, you know, yes, there were great miracles that happened in Egypt that were wondrous, and now we live in more concealed time. But Rav Yaakov Emden said, the truth is, the fact that we're able to survive in exile, that's the greatest revealed revelation of God's presence. And based on this, the Reisha Rav points out the connection before these four attempts. The first attempt appears when Bnei Israel hit their low point in Mitzrayim, when not only weren't they redeemed, as Moshe had promised, but their workload suddenly increased. And they might have thought, what's happening to us? Where's the salvation we were promised? The answer came with the next Satem. Hashem was telling them, yes, you had to endure terrible suffering, but you see, it was all part of a plan to become closer to me. There will come a point in Jewish history ever when we'll ask a different question. Why don't we see miracles anymore? Has Hashem abandoned us? Has Hashem abandoned us? The answer to that question is, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem l'tzei Hashem elkecha. You haven't been abandoned. The fact that we're standing today as Jews is a proof of the ultimate survival of the Jewish people. And there will come a day when Hashem will tell us, Atem adayinu, Hashem, you are witnesses. Hashem will say that I am the one and only God. Because if not, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu meyadam, you would never have survived all those constant efforts to eradicate you. So we have to understand, as we sit here on the Seder night and we lift that cup of wine, V'hi she'amda, this is the promise that Hashem has shown us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu meyadam, atem, 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 through all the atems you're able to see that Hashem says, I'm continuously with you. You're still around. And I will continue to save you, and you ultimately will become my witnesses of my greatness. That's one place. Another place where we pick up our cup, according to all customs, the cup is lifted, the matzos covered, saying this bracha. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, redeemed us and redeemed our ancestors from Egypt, and established us and enabled us to reach this night so we may eat on a matzah morrow. So Hashem, our God, and the God of our fathers, bring us also to future holidays and festivals that we'll be able to bring korbanos to you. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has redeemed Israel, Gaal Yisrael. So obviously, the Gaal Yisrael, we have to have in mind the future redemption. The very beautiful idea that Rabbi Bernstein brings down, there's a phrase here that's a little bit awkward. The Mo'adim Habayim Likrasenu. Literally, the words mean that are coming toward us. Right? What does that mean, they're coming toward us? This expression is most intriguing. Do festivals come toward us, or do we come towards them? Rav Yehuda ben Yochar explains the phrase as follows. The prophet Isaiah describes the timing of the future redemption with the words, Be'ita achishena, in its time I will hurry it. Which the Gemara explains is two ways that Mashiach could come. If the Jewish people have sufficient merit, the redemption will be hurried, brought forward. If they do not have sufficient merit, the redemption will come no later than its pre-designated time. And he adds, in this vein, explains Rabbi Yehuda, part of our prayer for the restoration of the festivals to their full glory in the temple is that those times should come toward us. This means we should merit having them brought forward through the agency of Achishena. I will hurry it. Rav Aaron Gewurz adds, this explains why we ask for these times to come toward us in peace. He quotes the Gra as saying that the difficulties of the birth pangs of the Mashiach will only occur if the Mashiach comes in the designated time of Be'ita, but not if we merit for him to come in the earlier time of Achishena. Thus, in keeping with our prayer that these times come toward us, we add Habayim Likratenu B'Shalom, that they do so in peace, and we should pause when we're saying this phrase, Habayim L'kaseinu, Hashem, bring it closer. Let us not have to wait till the final, you know, end point. Bring it closer. It's like a marathon. Who wants to wait till the, you know, the 49th mile? Bring it at the 20th mile. It's so much easier than having to run all the way. And I'll be in so much better condition. L'shalom. Obviously, the cup of wine at of Eliyahu HaNavi is clearly one of those burgundy places where I'm continuously focused. I pour the cup of wine of Eliyahu HaNavi, and I think about the fifth expression, Ve'eveti, source number 35, and I will bring them, referring to Hashem bringing the Jewish people to the land of Israel. Corresponding to the fifth expression, we have a fifth cup of Seder. Pending the final redemption, we do not drink this cup, for it is yet to be realized. Nonetheless, we do fill it and have it before us at the table, representing our anticipation of the future redemption. This cup is known as the cup of Eliyahu, for it is he who will herald the coming of Mashiach and the ultimate fulfillment of the fifth expression of Vehevesi. So when we have this, Mezigas Koshel Eliyahu, when I pour this fifth cup, I have to not just pour the cup and not say, oh, is it coming? But we mamish have to put within myself that just like Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, He's going to take us out again, and He's going to bring Eliyahu HaNavi. And that explains in 37 why it's Eliyahu HaNavi. We began with this, who wrote the Haggadah. The Eliyahu HaNavi who wrote the Haggadah is the Eliyahu HaNavi who puts himself at the end, so to speak. And he says, I'm coming. I'm almost here. And I want you to believe that I'm here. The night of Seder isn't a night of past. The night of Seder is past, present, and future. The night of Seder is about us recognizing that we have the ability to bring the Mashiach. And that explains why there's a Minhag Yisrael among some people to take from the cup of Eliyahu and to pour it into everyone's cup a little bit. We have the ability to bring the redemption closer, as we'll talk about in 1 minute, and then to save the rest of it for the Kiddush for the next day. It's anticipation. It's working toward the future. This is also seen, we'll just make mention of two final ideas. This is also seen in the songs. The songs, Vayhi b'chatzi alayla, after Lashon Haba b'Yerushalayim, the songs talk about what happened on the night of Seder. And again, if you look at the historical things that happened, you see it's a night of past, present, and future redemption. Karev yom asher u'lo yom v'lo layla. That day is going to come. Where layla kayom ya'ir, it's a day that night and day are one. It's going to be a day of illumination. One of the things that we mention on this night of the Vayhi b'chatzi alayla, one of the lines is Vayechalek aleihem layla. On that night, Avraham Avinu ran after the war of the four kings and the five kings, and he saved Lot on this night. And Hashem says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Avihem, in the asterisks in 39, Pal imi b'chatzi alayla. Your forefather, Avraham Avinu, worked for me on this night. I'm also going to work for his children on this night. That's in Mitzrayim, Vayhi b'chatzi alayla, Vashem ki kal kol b'eretz Yitzrayim. What's the connection between the two? So we'll do this outside. B'ni b'chori Yisrael, Rav Kluger, we've done parts of this before, points out that the night of Seder is the night that Lot was saved twice. Once in the war, once with the Malachim, it was Pesach, and this is a time of the birth of Mashiach. It's a time where David HaMelech, where do you find David? We find him in stone. We find the seeds of the night. It's a night of Geula. That's what the night is about. And it's a night reminding us that through all the different historical periods, there's that fight between good and evil. But it's a night that David HaMelech has created, so to speak. It's a night of Geula. It's a night of redemption. It's a night where the seeds of redemption are planted. And hence he brings down, we've done this in the past, I'll just make mention of it because I have no time, 40 to 43, that this is hinted at in one of the foods we eat on Seder night, which is Charoset. Charoset, says the Arizal, source number 41 and 42, it stands for Chas Rut, mercy on Rut. what does Rut have to do with Charoset? Because the Charoset reminds us that with all of this bitterness and hard work, there is a Rut that's going to come out. And Rut is called on her name. Rut's name is Shezachtavi Yatsamenu David Shrivayla Kuchabrihu Bashiros Tishbachos. She's the forerunner of David HaMelech, Shrivayhu, who sang praises to Hashem. The night of Pesach is a night of Charoset, to remind ourselves that within all the bitterness, David HaMelech is found. And obviously, Paro is the same letters as Orpah, who is the exact opposite of Rut, right? The sister. And Orpah had for her came Goliath, who tried to get rid of David HaMelech. It's throughout all generations that we have a Paro and a Moshe Rabbeinu, an Orpah and a Rut, a David and a Goliath. But know that life is about being able to move through all of this negativity, all of this tuma, to be able to have the perfected world. And keep in mind that that burgundy color has to be found in the Charoset, right? All the apples and all the nuts you put in, you got to add the wine, because it's about the burgundy color to remind us of the future redemption. Chasrut imashal malchut. Our final idea, my friends, and we'll call it a day. We know v'agula achrona tiyeh kasher yitbaru kol nistoros shemitziat Mitzrayim. The gula of Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, l'man tizkor et yom seitcha meretz Yitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. You should remember Mitzrayim all the days of your life. And in the future it says, Ki mei seitcha meretz Yitzrayim erenu flows. Like the days of leaving Egypt, 45 in the squiggly, I will show you wonders. The days we left Egypt in one day, in one moment. What is days? Because the Egyptian experience is continuing every day. We have Zecher Yitzhak Mitzrayim every day. Because every day we're moving one step out of those worlds of impurity. We're moving one step closer to the ultimate redemption. Every day we have this aspect of being able to bring the world one step closer to that light, that energy of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Having said that, the night of Pesach, as we began with, is a night of tremendous potential to unleash all of this energy of being able to punish the bad people, be able to reward and give strength to the Jews, to be able to build up that positivity. And the night of Seder is not just looking in retrospect, it's looking at anticipation for the future, being able to see, based on our past, what will be in the future, and even more than that, by mentioning the past and talking about what happened, that in itself creates the reality that the future is now happening as we speak. We shape the future individually, collectively, and the Seder night has that unleashing power that indeed it will be the Lel Shimurim, that night of watching that Hashem has been waiting for, of the ultimate Geula, L'shana Habab, Yerushalayim HaBnuyah.